Well, you know, when Jesus was with his apostles after he had been raised from the dead, he gave them what we sometimes think of as the Great Commission. He said, I want you to go into all the world. I want you to teach the gospel, and I want you to tell people how they can come back to me. In the second chapter of the book of Acts, 50 days after Jesus had been raised from the dead, the day of Pentecost, which would have been a Sunday, that's exactly what the apostles did. Now, we focus on the second chapter of Acts and verses 37 and 38. When the apostles had begun to preach, the people that were there in the assembly, probably on a street corner or in Solomon's porch, they heard what was said and they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter said to them, repent, be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So let's sort of think about this second chapter of the book of Acts. There's a lot that's going on here. We're going to read the entirety of the second chapter, and then we'll make a couple of observations. Now, over the next couple of weeks, we're going to talk about how Jesus is calling all men everywhere to repent and to be baptized. And really, we'll be focusing on what that means for us. So let's begin in the second chapter of Acts and begin reading at verse 1. And I'm going to read from the English Standard Version this morning. You can follow along. It's pretty similar to the King James or the American Standard. There are a few differences. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. Now, from the end of the first chapter, we know that the people that were together were the apostles, and the people that were Jesus' disciples. There were about 120 of them, and they were gathered together in one place. And then it says, suddenly, there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. It filled the entire house where they were sitting and divided as a fire and divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were at that time dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitudes came together. They were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. They were amazed. They were astonished. They said, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians. We hear them telling in our tongue the mighty works of God. Now, just fix that in your mind. These men were talking about the mighty works of God. And we're going to try our very best to stay focused on God throughout this. All of them were amazed and perplexed. They were saying to another, what does this mean? Both said, well, they're drunk. They're filled with new wine. But Peter, standing with the 11, that would have been the apostles, lifted up his voice and he addressed them. He said, men of Judea all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. These people are not drunk as you suppose, seeing it's but the third hour. It's only the third hour of the day. What a fantastic explanation. People are speaking languages that they didn't learn. They're not native speakers, so they must be drunk. Now that just strikes me as the most fanciful explanation that you could come up with, because drunk people don't begin to speak languages that they didn't learn. So the explanation is a fanciful explanation that leaves God out of the picture, right? He says, this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. What you're seeing here, men speaking in these languages, this is what was uttered by the prophet Joel. In the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams, even on my male servants and female servants in those days will I pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens and signs in the earth below, blood, fire, vapor of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness, the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. It shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Men of Israel, I hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, this Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified him and killed him by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David said concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, that I might not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad. When I got to see Jesus, my heart was glad. My tongue rejoiced, my flesh dwelled in hope. You will not abandon my soul to Hades, nor will you let your Holy One see corruption. You've made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. That's what David concluded when he saw Jesus. Brethren, I say to you with confidence about the patriarch David, that he was both dead and buried. His tomb is with us to this day. But being therefore a prophet, knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set up one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of Christ, that he was not abandoned in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we all are witnesses. Being therefore by the right hand of God exalted, having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he's poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. That's what was going on. David did not ascend into heaven, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. They said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter said to them, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, for all who are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God calls to himself. With many other words, the four witnesses continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, the breaking of bread, and prayers. Awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together. They had all things in common. They were selling their possessions and blessings and belongings, and giving and distributing the proceeds to all as may have had need. And day by day, attending the temple together, breaking bread in their houses, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to them, to their number, day by day, those that were being saved. Let's set the stage. The Jews gathered in Jerusalem three times every year. That was the commandment of God. And they were in Jerusalem for one of those feast days. It was the Feast of Pentecost. It was 50 days after the Sabbath of the Passover week. So it's Pentecost Sunday, 50 days after the Passover. Jews from all over the world had come to Jerusalem. The Jews at this time were well-respected people. They were invited to go into just about every nation under the sun, and three times every year. On this day, they would gather in Jerusalem. They came from far and wide. They spoke their native languages. Now, probably they could speak some snatches, some little bits of the Hebrew language. Because they were, after all, Jews. They read the Old Testament, and they would have known at least a little bit of Hebrew. Now, they could have read the Old Testament in the Greek language by this time, so they were probably at least familiar with Greek, or the Greek that had been used in the translation of the Septuagint. And many of them didn't like the Septuagint because it had been translated into the Greek. They wanted people to speak Hebrew. So they probably all could have spoken at least a little bit of Hebrew. And then they hear 12 native Judeans speaking in their native languages. Those 12 Judeans didn't take advantage of the fact that they all knew a little bit of Hebrew. They didn't speak Hebrew. They didn't take advantage of the fact that many of them would have been able to speak at least a little bit of Greek. They didn't take advantage of that. Something marvelous happened. These 12 Judeans, who hadn't studied Latin from Rome, who hadn't studied the Parthian language or the Mede language, they started speaking. And their response was, those 12 men are drunk. And they're really just looking for a natural explanation. They had to find something that they could use to explain the obvious phenomenal event that they were witnessing. But that wasn't it. The fact is that God was there. God was doing something. And what did people tell the But what did Peter tell the people when they came together and they started listening to what was being said? You're seeing the hand of God in these men. You're seeing God do what he promised he was going to do all the way back in the Garden of Eden. You're seeing God doing what he promised he was going to do when he talked to Abraham in Genesis 12. I'm going to bless all people through your seed. We know that seed was Jesus. And they, because they were Jews, they were well aware of what God had said to Abraham. In fact, they called him Father Abraham. They wanted that blessing that God had promised. But they rebelled against God's plan to deliver the blessing. The plan was Jesus. He was the one that brought it. He'd always been the plan. It was something that David rejoiced in. Remember, he saw Jesus in his mind's eye, I think. And he rejoiced because God was going to keep his promise. Instead, you rebelled against God. You rejected the one who God sent to make sure that you could have this promise. You killed him. He says, by the hands of lawless men, you crucified Jesus. It's true. The Jews didn't nail Jesus' hands to the cross. The Romans had to do that because the Jews didn't have the right to do it. And here's the exciting thing. God carried out his plan anyway. You rejected his messenger. You killed him. You buried him. And God raised him from the grave. Their response. They're convicted that they had rebelled against God. They knew that they'd put his messenger to death. And they were cut to the heart, it says in the English Standard Version. Very similar to what happened when Stephen preached in Jerusalem. He was preaching to, again, a group of Jews. He wasn't one of the apostles, but he was one that had been chosen as a servant in the early church. And he's preaching. And he says pretty much the same thing that Peter said. But there was a completely different response. The people that Stephen preached to, you remember what happened to Stephen? They stoned him. People were excited when they heard Peter because Peter told them there's a way to respond even to return to God's promise. You didn't give it up entirely. They had different hearts. That was the reason that there was a difference in the response. Luke, the 8th chapter. Jesus has talked about how important the heart is to the reception of God's blessings. Luke, the 8th chapter, verses 4 through 15, is a parable of the sower and the four different kinds of field or four different kinds of soil that the sower sowed the seed in. Some people heard it and they were excited. Now, then there's Satan, who's trying everything he can to keep this seed from bearing fruit. And so Satan will snatch it away if he can. And then there's a kind of seed that's just a hard path. You know, as I've reflected on the parable of the sower, I thought about how I have gone out and tried to broadcast seed in my yard. And I watched my grandfather do this over and over again. He could broadcast fertilizer, he could broadcast seed, just kind of throw it out of his hand. And he got even coverage wherever he wanted to throw it. He never threw the seed where he didn't want to throw it. This farmer didn't throw seed where he didn't want to throw it. Now, it doesn't work that way when I try it, because if you'd seen my yard in Spokane, I wound up with these little crescents. I have a crescent of green, and then there'd be a field of brown, and a crescent of green, and a field of brown. I can't do that. But farmers don't throw away seed. And God didn't throw away his seed either. He knew that they would stone Stephen, but he still wanted them to hear the word. God's solution. You've not totally forfeited God's blessing that he promised to Abraham. You've not totally forfeited the blessing that Jesus was to bring to people. There is a plan for you to return. You need to repent of your rebellion. As long as you stay in rebellion, as long as you continue in rejecting the messenger, and he's the only messenger, as long as you continue to reject the messenger, you can't have the blessing. And then you need to be baptized. It's accepting Jesus' plan, isn't it? It's letting Jesus be the one who guides your life. You've returned to a state where you're listening to God. That's what baptism does. And it washes away the sin of rebellion. You put Jesus on. You say, I'm going to listen to him. I want what he brings. And I want to stop doing what I was doing that was just rebellion against God. And it's not just for the Jews that were listening to this on the day of Pentecost. Peter said, this blessing that God originally promised to Abraham, remember, in him all nations of the earth would be blessed. It wasn't just for Jews. This was a blessing that God wanted to give from the garden to everyone. And so this universal need, a universal response, is what we're going to talk about a little bit later. So we'll talk about what repentance really is. We'll talk about what baptism really is. And we'll talk about the universality of it. But if you're here this morning and you reflect on how God wanted to bless your life, sent Jesus to tell you how he could bless your life, and you've rejected him, we want you to repent and be baptized to accept the blessing that God wants to give.